We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabhari. Text number 75. Anena Purusho Dehan Upadate Vimunchati Harsham Shokam Bhayam Dukkham Sukham Chanena Vindati Anena Purusho Dehan Upadate Vimunchati Harsham Shokam Bhayam Dukkham Sukham Chanena Vindati Anena Purusho Dehan Upadate Vimunchati Harsham Shokam Bhayam Dukkham Sukham Chanena Vindati. Please chant. Anena Purusho Dehan Upadate Vimunchati Harsham Shokam Bhayam Dukkham Sukham Chanena Vindati Anena Purusho Dehan Harsham Shokam Bhayam Dukkham Anena. I'm sorry. Please carry on. Oh. Anena. By this process, Purusha, the living entity, Dehan, gross bodies, Upadate, achieves, Vimunchati, gives up, Harsham, enjoyment, Shokam, lamentation, Bhayam, fear, Dukkham, unhappiness, Sukham, happiness, Cha, also, Anena, by the gross body, Vindati, enjoys. Translation. By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness and unhappiness. Please repeat. By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus, the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. According to this explanation, one can clearly understand that originally the living entity was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His pure spiritual existence. However, when the mind becomes polluted by desires for sense gratification in the material world, the living entity drops into the material conditions, as explained in this verse. Thus, he begins his material existence, which means that he transmigrates from one body to another and becomes more and more entangled in material existence. The process of Krishna consciousness, by which one always thinks of Krishna, is the transcendental process by which one can revert to his original spiritual existence. Devotional service means always thinking of Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mam evaishyasi satyam te prati jane priyosi me. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 65. One should always engage in the Lord's devotional service, as recommended in the Archana Marga. One should worship the deity in the temple and constantly offer obeisances to the spiritual master and the deity. These processes are recommended to one who actually wants to become free from material entanglement. Modern psychologists can study the actions of the mind, thinking, feeling and willing, but they are unable to go deep into the matter. This is due to their lack of knowledge and to their not being associated with a liberated acharya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 2, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu sakaleneha mahata yoga nashtaha parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science, as it is, appears to be lost. Guided by so-called psychologists and philosophers, people in the modern age do not know of the activities of the subtle body and thus cannot understand what is meant by the transmigration of the soul. In these matters, we have to take the authorized statements of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 13. Dehino asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dira tatra namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Unless all human society understands this important verse in Bhagavad Gita, civilization will advance in ignorance, not in knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksharana Militangyana Tasamai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। अनेना पुरुषो देहान् उपादते विमुञ्चति हर्षं शोकं भयं दुःखं सुखं चानेन विन्दति। By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus, the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness. The approach Srila Prabhupada had with presenting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam was like a teacher. He would try to explain the truths contained in this literature. This is in contrast to an approach where a person becomes very familiar with the ideas expressed in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he does not believe in them. He is conversant. He intellectually appreciates what is said in the Gita, what is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But it is not something he is going to necessarily accept fully himself. So this is called academic appreciation. Srila Prabhupada's view was the appreciation of a devotee, the person who lives by this education, who accepts it wholeheartedly. Shishi Gornita, Shishi Krishna Balram, Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. So we find Srila Prabhupada very meticulously, very carefully trying to explain the verse today. Narada Muni is telling King Prachina Bhari that in reality you are not enjoying in this world. In reality, you are actually just suffering. The suffering takes the form of certain varieties. It's variegated suffering. It's not monotonous suffering. The suffering has the qualities of harsham, feeling a sense of pleasure, shokam, lamenting. It has a variety of bhayam, fear, dukkham, being unhappy, and sukham, and being happy. This is all different facets of suffering. Why? Because you're conditioned. You have no choice. The conditioning is not imposed upon us by a separate agency. It is a result of our own activities, our own choices. and this is the result. But in total, it is simply suffering. Sometimes it has the form of feeling happy, sometimes unhappy, sometimes fearful, sometimes lamenting. So, earlier I mentioned that there is the appreciation of the intellectual appreciation and there is the devotee's appreciation. The devotee, he takes this to heart. He thinks there is a consequence to this knowledge, that because, in other words, I do not now look for a certain combination in the material world which will be appealing to me. He gives it up. Vimunchati. He wants to give up this process of sometimes harsham, shokam, payam, dukkham. So he takes to heart this lesson from Narada Muni. And King Prachinabhari is that devotee. He takes it to heart. He reforms his activities, his life, around this information. It is in the same spirit that it has been given to us, that we may, like King Prachinabhari, reform our activities. We have presently invested our entire energy in a material life. We are seeking to alleviate our problems and to enhance our pleasures. This is the entire story of our life. And it is the story of our life after life, after life, every life. And it is putting us in this endless cycle of transmigrating from one term of suffering for another and another. So Narada Muni wants to impress upon the king, don't do that. Don't perpetuate your material existence. That we must, you are only inhabiting a false identity. It is not really our own life. It's the life of our body, our karma. We are simply expiring the term of punishment. We are being punished in this way. So Srila Prabhupada scrutinizingly, painstakingly, he explains that to get out of this material existence means to get out of this transmigration from one body to another. And coming out of this existence is called the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is giving us a process of Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is giving us this process. It's a very scientific process. It's not haphazard. It's not whimsical. It's not something we concoct as we go along. Just like material entanglement is a process. It's a scientific process. When you desire to enjoy, you're given this material existence. And it functions by certain laws. And those laws are known as the laws of karma. And these laws, they give us two bodies, subtle and gross. The gross body changes from day to day, from one life to another. The subtle body, which is holding our desires and the reactions to our activities, continues from one day to the next, from one body to the next. So that's the process. That's scientific also. This is what King Prachinabari has been telling. Narada has been telling King Prachinabari that he's educating him. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that there is a process, scientific, which allows us to get out of this entanglement. So he mentions the process of Krishna consciousness. And he says, devotional service means to always think of Krishna. This is the essence of devotional service. Right now, our mind is always thinking of sense gratification. Now that means, to think of Krishna is in opposition to sense gratification. They cannot coexist. It's one or the other. Now, we may have some experience where we think of Krishna, but we also think of sense gratification. So Lord Kapila says that's called Mishra Bhakti. When your devotional service is mixed, it has a portion of Krishna consciousness and it has a portion of material consciousness. Srila Prabhupada says that he says the process of Krishna consciousness by which one always thinks of Krishna, he is saying we have to do it not mixed. We have to do it always. Always think of Krishna. Not think of sense gratification. He says this is necessary in order to come out of this transmigration of the soul from one body to another. In other words, mixed Krishna consciousness will not get you out of this cycle of repeated birth and death. We have to think of Krishna always. Now, I was saying that because we have an intellectual appreciation, we don't mold our life around this knowledge. So that's what is meant by Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Anavritam. Jnana Karma Adi Anavritam. To be free from mental speculation means to give up this intellectual appreciation of Krishna consciousness. To actually live your life by Krishna consciousness. Not to just know it. Because if you only have an intellectual appreciation, our term of material existence will continue. So what it requires is to become completely, to hear this information and to mold our life around it. In Hindi it's called parivartan. When there is a change, just like when the seasons change, they change. They're not pretending to change, they change. When it becomes raining, it's raining. It's not pretending to rain. When the cold season comes, it really will be cold. You will be cold. So when we change, right now, we are dhyato vishayan pungsa. We are constantly thinking of Vishayan, objects of our enjoyment. It's constant. That has to change. King Prachinavari had to change. He was contemplating a nice situation as a result of performing sacrifice. We are thinking of a nice situation as a result of our endeavors. I am taking a job. I am doing a business with the view that I will have a nice situation. When we hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand any situation in this material world is a mistake. We have to understand. We really must understand. King Prachinavari could not understand. He also struggled with this. So Narada Muni patiently explained to him, "My dear king, you really will not be happy even in heaven as a result of your fruitive activities. You really will not be. Why? Because you have two bodies, gross and subtle. The subtle body will continue to harbor more and more desires. Heaven will not stop that. It will enhance our desires. We will want more and more. Dushpurena analena cha. It will burn like fire. This is the problem. So he is not saying don't go to heaven but suffer. He is saying make a permanent solution. So when the king finally gives up his kingdom to go to the forest, when we devotees take up devotional service, we're not giving up being happy for being suffering, a suffering condition of life. It is an intelligent move, because by this move you will come out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. You will finish your subtle body. You will have no more desires. That's what this process does. Man mana bhava madhava. That's what it does. It doesn't, it's not a pretext for giving up all the wonderful things that modern society has to offer. Cars, houses, electronics. It is actually giving us a way out. And the way out takes the form not necessarily of becoming a beggar, but minimizing material needs and focusing on thinking of Krishna. That's the point. The solution is not in becoming a beggar, poverty stricken. The solution is in where your mind is. What is your contemplation? Now, this is the essence that Prachinavari finally understands. This is the point. Therefore, this process of Krishna consciousness has to be embraced wholeheartedly with our mind, body, our whole and effort, our whole soul has to be invested in this way in order to benefit. You know, otherwise, you know, Arjun, he said, "My dear Lord, wouldn't the condition of this person be like a broken cloud in neither sphere?" Because he's thinking, one gives up the car, the nice material life, the money, but he also does not become Krishna conscious. What happens to him? So Krishna assures him that nothing inauspicious can happen to a person who does not succeed to become Krishna conscious, but only tries. Only tries. He may fail. But Prabhupada is focusing not on the failure. He is saying that one can indeed be successful. And he gives the key that... here. He mentioned in his purport about psychologists that they also try to deal with the mind, the process of thinking, feeling, and willing, people's emotions. But he said they do it imperfectly. Modern psychologists can study the actions of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing, but they are unable to go deep into the matter. This is due to the lack of knowledge and to their not being associated with a liberated acharya. So this is the point. We need the association of a person who has perfected, who has transferred his thinking, feeling, and willing on Krishna. He's not struggling. He's done it. He always manmana bhava madbhakto, not part-time. So this is the verse today. I want to take about 20 minutes to discuss incorporation of ISKCON in New York. But before I do that, are there any quick questions or comments on the verse? You're more than welcome to speak now, and then we'll go on to the incorporation of ISKCON. Yes? Do you want the mic?
Just a quick one. Does it mean that the gross body carries to the next life as well? The gross body, the subtle body, sorry.
The subtle body definitely goes to the next life. It goes through all your lives. One subtle body.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Can you pass it?
Hare Krishna. Krishna says he fulfilled all the desires of the living entity. So what happened with the desires, the material desires, who are not fulfilled when the living entity surrenders unto Sri Krishna? What do become these unfulfilled material desires?
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. Person was already having some desires, he takes up Krishna consciousness. So those desires are still there. What happens to them? That's actually very relevant. These desires, there's two basic things that can happen. There are many things that can happen, but there are two basic things. One is you take up Krishna consciousness so seriously, so sincerely, that through Krishna consciousness your desires are fulfilled. Through Krishna consciousness your desires are then fulfilled. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. He had a desire, material desire, and it was fulfilled by Krishna consciousness. There is the other problem. If you do not take up Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly, seriously, they will become the cause of the weakness of heart. They will become the weakness of heart. They're the ones that will cause you problems in practicing Krishna consciousness fully. So, it's a good question which deserves a longer answer, but those are the two basic options we have. So, thank you. Can you pass it on?
Prabhuji, we've heard that even higher personalities like demigods are finding this very hard to comprehend and to actually act on that information. So, could you please elaborate as to how we can go about doing this?
Yeah, thank you. The demigods are having problems in practicing pure Krishna consciousness precisely why Narada Muni stopped King Prachinabari from going to heaven. Because you have difficulties. If you're trying to fulfill your material desires materially, to practice pure Krishna consciousness becomes difficult. And therefore the demigods have difficulty. The path that Srila Prabhupada is giving to us is not the path of the demigods. He is giving the path of the pure devotees. It bypasses heaven. Because once you're in heaven, you're in trouble. Just like you're in trouble if you're in hell also. Because it's overwhelming. On the one hand, you have overwhelming pain. On the other hand, you have overwhelming sense pleasure. It's overwhelming. It's not easy to transcend. So the best is pure devotional service without going to heaven. There's better chance. Thank you very much. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. I'd just like to take the opportunity to speak on the incorporation of ISKCON in 1966. So today is July 31st. Today is the day. Back in 1966, ISKCON was formally, legally incorporated in New York. So it's actually a wonderful occasion. And with your cooperation, I'd like to share some of the significance of this day. I myself became involved in 1969 in England. And this is just 3 years prior. 69 is when the devotees came to England from America, from Canada. And so this is a very significant time. Today being the day, it's worth meditating on some of the significance this has. So I have three topics. One is ISKCON. One is the followers in ISKCON. And third topic is Srila Prabhupada's significance, Srila Prabhupada's coming to the West. So, under the first category of ISKCON, I have some bullet points which I'd like to go over. The name, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, was not some afterthought. It wasn't a whim. It wasn't some casual suggestion. It actually had a very deep genesis. There was a deep... It evolved in a very deep way with Srila Prabhupada. Firstly, the phrase Krishna consciousness. It's unusual phrase. And Srila Prabhupada rendered this word, this phrase, very carefully, and it comes from Sanskrit, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. Bhavita. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. Which is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. English means to be absorbed in the mellow taste of executing devotional service to Krishna. This is what Prabhupada termed Krishna consciousness. So that's ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then even before it was incorporated in July, Srila Prabhupada used to use the term International Society for Krishna Consciousness before the incorporation. He would call his society when he only was... Actually, he wasn't even in 26 Second Avenue when he used to use the title International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He was in the Bowery. He had no place. He was just renting. And he used to use this term. He wrote this in his letters to India. And he wrote, he described his society to a newspaper article in New York. So, there's also an interesting story about some followers suggesting International Society for God Consciousness. So, Srila Prabhupada insisted that God is a very vague term. It doesn't necessarily mean the personality of Godhead. Whereas Krishna is a person. Supreme. Once you get to know Krishna, you'll understand. He is the personality of Godhead. So he wanted and he insisted. So this is the point about the genesis. How the term International Society for Krishna Consciousness came. And it came in this way, after deliberate, mature meditation. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he incorporated seven purposes of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You're all familiar with them, but it's worth repeating. Today's the day. This is the day when these seven purposes were incorporated. So please listen to them. Number one, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. That's number one. To preach, to educate people about spiritual life and thereby bring peace in the world. Number two, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Number three, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity. Thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. So he wanted ISKCON to be the basis of teaching Krishna consciousness as given in the Gita and the Bhagavatam. And he wanted the members of ISKCON to come closer together around Krishna in the center. Number four, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he wanted that ISKCON should practice Harinam Sankirtan. Number five, to erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. This is Srila Prabhupada's definition of a temple. To bring, number six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. This is Srila Prabhupada referring to simple living, high thinking. And some devotees understand that to mean village-based life. Number seven, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So these are seven purposes of ISKCON. And Prabhupada was very serious when he was in the Bowery that this is what his ISKCON would do. Then we come to the second topic, the followers. So it wasn't just a bricks society, an impersonal organization. He, part of the society, part of ISKCON, was the followers, was the disciples. So I made a few points on that. Srila Prabhupada engendered a feeling of brotherhood and friendship among his followers. Among those who were not even accustomed to tolerate differences among their own family members, these people would come to work and cooperate with each other, even though they came from different races, cultures, and different personal natures. They would take on humble roles, undergo many austerities. Some even will suffer abuse. Not enough can be said about each of these followers. But more to the point, not enough can be said about the person who inspired such feelings in his followers. The comparison that comes to mind about his followers is that of the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, they are the topmost devotees of Krishna. They personify selflessness and renunciation in the service of Krishna to the highest degree. Srila Prabhupada did something like that with his followers. The followers, they were inspired with selflessness and renunciation with a view to pleasing Srila Prabhupada. So, the point is, how can we then understand what Srila Prabhupada did? To inspire such a change in somebody is not easy. And truly, the name United Nations is something only Srila Prabhupada deserves to have. He was able to unite people from different nations, different cultures, different races, different backgrounds. And he alone. This is something that the world has yet not recognized, but in time to come, that's a remarkable achievement. And so the last point about the followers, it remains with the followers now to decide whether they would like to go down in history as continuing his legacy of inspiring the same feeling in others, of being able to give Krishna consciousness to present generations and generations to come, to take it to towns and villages that have yet not been reached. So the hope is that if we meditate on Srila Prabhupada, we as his followers will be able to do that. Then finally, there's some few notes about Srila Prabhupada's coming to the West. By the way, is the devotee with the harmonium ready? There's a song we want to sing. Don't see him. Anyway. So, Srila Prabhupada's coming to the West. Bhakti Vikas Swami writes in his book, The bringing of Krishna consciousness to the West is probably the most amazing, unlikely, and glorious event in the history of the world. So the West has a way of life that's based on, actually, materialism. But this materialism takes the form of all kinds of sinful activities. And they have a sense of God, but it is very undeveloped. It's very childish even, because it is actually just centered around God with a view to helping us in our material life, praying to Him so that I may be happy in the material world. And such a world Prabhupada gave Krishna consciousness to. So, this this is the first time in the history of the world that somebody took a genuine understanding of God and brought it to the West. Other Swamis have come to the West, but nobody gave pure Krishna consciousness. They only gave materialism also, with the name Hindu attached to it. But Prabhupada gave genuine spiritual life. And there's another interesting point, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated Sankirtan with the help of many devotees. Lord Nityananda, Dvaitacharya, Gadadhar, Srivas, and many, many, many others. The Goswamis in Puri, in Navadvip, so many, and all over South India. But Srila Prabhupada actually just went alone. He went alone to the West. He did not have any assistance. So, and not only that, he is the one who fulfilled the prophecy Lord Chaitanya made. That prithivite ache yata nagaradi gram. Prithivite, there was no prithivite before Srila Prabhupada. He made it global. And he did it without assistance. So, this is a story. ISKCON, this establishing of ISKCON, 1966, is a story of a pure devotee who had great love for Krishna, who was fully obedient to his spiritual master's order. And in such a quality, to such a degree, that it is very hard to fully understand. He was bodily very old. He was actually unhealthy, had two heart attacks. Anybody who's had a heart attack will tell you, it doesn't, just to exist is an achievement. Just to exist, let alone do anything. So, not only that, he had Vidya Vinaya Sampane, Brahmane Gavi Hastini. He had this universal, he had no prejudice. He had no bodily prejudice against those not of Indian birth. He embraced them. He lived with them. He slept with them, he ate with them. But he did not become like them. He made them like him. This is quite remarkable. And he took it to places where he did not know the language through his disciples. To Russia, to Germany, to France. All the languages he did not himself know. But he successfully... So this story of ISKCON, story of Srila Prabhupada are very intimately linked. And it's a story of a great compassion of a pure devotee of the Lord. A unique devotee of the Lord. Unique in all Vaishnav history and unique in all Vedic history. And we are living in... as a product of that mercy, of that compassion, we all assembled here, this temple. So, this is quite remarkable. And he, not only that, not only for the time of 1966, but for all time to come, he's left his books. People who have never met him, people who have never had association with his followers, but had his books, have become changed in remote parts of the world. So, he was a fully Krishna conscious personality. And we may try to describe ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada in our own way, but Srila Prabhupada describes himself, in his words, in the two poems that he wrote before reaching America. So my request to you is today, please read those poems. They're very beautiful. And you will benefit. Thank you very much for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Incorporation Day ki jai. Hare Krishna.